show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. Something different. I want to start the podcast with a bit of serious news this morning, if I can, Gabs. Okay. On Monday, just gone, Lifeline Australia recorded their highest number of calls ever in a single day. Mm. Lifeline Australia received 3,345 calls for help.
In one day.
On Monday, just gone. Obviously, we have a lot of the country in lockdown, parts of Queensland now in lockdown as well too. And obviously, that is taking its toll. Amazing to see people reaching out and seeking support. They Definitely. Do amazing work at Lifeline, but very, very sad that it has gotten to this point in the pandemic.
Yeah, it's definitely a really stark reminder to reach out to your loved ones, anyone who is isolated because of the current situation, anyone who is a small business owner and so really could be suffering financially, like just reach out to everyone, reach out to all of your loved ones because you just never know who needs that contact right now.
It legitimately can save a life. Yeah. And if you are struggling, be one of these people. Don't be too proud. Be one of these people Definitely. Who gets help. And if you don't know where to start, Lifeline, we just love them. We love the work they do at this show. You can reach them anytime on 13 11 14 or at lifeline.org.au.
Cliffo and Gabby. Average Joe's.
I'll let you explain it because it's a fantastic little brainchild from Gabrielle.
Yes.
How good. Cliff on Gabby, Average Joe's.
Well, we've all been sitting on our couches watching the Olympics thinking to ourselves, I could do better. But could you? That's the question. So when it comes to watching the athletics, because they are so amazing, but they're all amazing, you can't have any context as to how amazing they are compared to an average Joe.
There's no control.
There's no control. There's no context. So we want to prove how incredible they are by being your context, by being your average Joe.
Like if you were to actually look at this visually, it was, and I've used this example before because I think it's a good one.
In a perfect world, this is what would happen.
It would be the swimming. There would be seven lanes of Olympic athletes and the eighth would be, you know, me.
And while we petition for that to be a thing in future Olympics, to have an average Joe in every final of every event, it's not happening yet. So we need to do it outside of the Olympics for you.
First on the chopping block is me having a crack at gold in the 100 metre sprint.
Yes.
Now, the gold at the 100 metre sprint final in Tokyo this year was won by an Italian guy by the name of Lamont Marcel Jacobs, who he did not beat Usain Bolt's Olympic all-world record.
Right.
But he still managed, I know, right, loser? He still managed to run the 100 metres in 9.80 seconds.
Jeez, that's fast.
Bolt's closer to 9.6.
Ooh.
But yeah, 9.80 for Jacobs. So that was the time I was going
for. You were going
for
the gold time, not the Olympic record time.
The gold time from Tokyo. So 9.80 seconds. I'm trying to beat the Italian. How I measured this was I measured 100 metres on my speedometer on the car next to the footpath out the front of my house. Okay?
Funny.
So keep that in mind. That's where I'm running the sprint. I'm not on a proper track. I'm on the concrete footpath out the front of my house, measured by the speedometer. Actually, the way the Olympics measure the track, I think, is just on the
Nissan
Juala's speedometer. But this is how it went, our first crack at Cliffo and Gabby's average job.
All right, it's a sunny afternoon. There's a slight nor'wester blowing on the track. The Italian Stallion is the one to beat at a time of 9.80 seconds. I got to say, I feel like he's already got the head start because I'm running in shoes, in joggers, but without socks because I couldn't find any clean ones. All right, the footpath is long. It is straight. Head down. I think this is what you do, isn't it? I'm kind of leaning over, fingertips just touching the concrete. I think there's people watching from their houses, but that's okay. Here I go, getting ready to start the timer. On your marks. Get set. And he's off. All right, go. People definitely watching. Head down, lean forward. Go, go, go. Running. Car coming up behind me. I'll take him on.
It's 11 o'clock. Whew. 28.73 seconds. Not a bad time for a first attempt. He's got about a bit over 20 odd seconds on me, the Italian stallion. I'm just going to go and have a heart attack now.
Whew. I was actually really happy with that time.
That's a good time for an average Joe. 28. It's just not Olympic gold worthy.
0.73 seconds. And look, I'll put it out there. No, I didn't beat the Italian stallion. I didn't beat his 9.80 seconds. He has the gold.
That's the point, though, isn't it? Just to show 100%. How much more superior these
and
athletes
are. I would
are.
Like to report that I did, in fact, beat the car that came up behind me. So, joke's on you.
Oh, guys, it's census time again. This rolls around every 5 years.
Four years, like the Olympics.
Sure. I pay a lot of attention.
Can you Google that, Brooke? How often does the census?
It might be 5 years, because on one of the questions in it is, where were you living 5 years ago? And you have to give an address for exactly 5 years ago. So I feel like it might be 5 years. Anyway, I did it last night. I did the census last night. And don't panic, last night was not the night that you have to do it. You actually have to do it Tuesday night, so coming up very quickly. But when we got the form in the mail yesterday, it said, if you know where you're going to be on Tuesday night and who's going to be in your house, you can fill it out in advance. Just go online and fill out the form. And I was like, it's a Tuesday night. I'm going to be home
in
bed.
I'm going to be clubbing.
I know exactly where I'm
going to be bar hopping. Smash heaps of drinks, probably end the night at a kebab shop.
I know.
Just an average Tuesday in the life of
Gabby. I know exactly where I'm going to be, and it's home in bed. So I'm like, it's very safe for me to fill it out in advance. So I get online. Oh, Brooks just commented, yep, five years. It's definitely five years. Yeah. So I get online. I log in as per the instructions on the leaflet that was mailed. And I get up, and what you've got to do is fill out details on every individual person that is in the house on that evening. So I did mine, easy as. And then I had to go, all right, fiancé Nev, I've got to answer your questions. Take a seat. And he was just in this real silly mood. So,
oh, yeah. I've seen Nev in this mood. I like this, Nev.
I should have just handed over the laptop and made him do it himself.
Nah.
Because
it's no fun that way.
Because the census is going to be interesting, guys, because it asks things like, where do you work? And he's a painter. So then it was like, what do you do in your job?
I paint.
What did you do in the job you were at last week?
I paint.
And so then he started getting more and more frustrated. It's like, what does your employer do as a business? They
paint.
So then he just started giving me dumb answers because it was just getting stupid. And we got to the point where it got to things like your religion and those kind of details.
Everyone puts Jedi, don't they?
He didn't put Jedi.
Senses. Everyone puts Jedi.
I'm like going through the questions. I'm like, so religion, what are you going to go with this? Are you going to go with no religion, Anglican? What do you reckon? He's like, no. My religion is worshipping your butt. So there's your warning, guys. Just fill it out without any input next time.
It's a small church. He hasn't got many followers. He's committed.
I don't know if anyone else noticed this detail, but I was pretty enthralled with the swimming. And a lot of the time when you're watching these events, of course, you're watching the athletes. However, there was an official that was there by the pool that I noticed and I thought, it's a bit pointless.
Yeah.
It was a guy sitting by the pool with a lifeguard jumper on and a floaty device ready to go. We are talking about only the top swimmers in the world in that pool. I'm pretty sure they know how to swim.
Yeah.
But a lifeguard is sitting there just in case.
What I would normally say is maybe there's some sort of legal thing for a lifeguard to be there at the Olympics if it was full of spectators.
Yeah, I get that.
There are no spectators in Tokyo. And you know what? That said, even if a spectator did fall into the pool,
I would hazard a guess
an Olympic swimmer would be
thinking.
Quicker to the person drowning than old mate lifeguard.
That was my exact thinking, right? Because I was like, okay, if something does go wrong, if one of the athletes has a medical episode and they do need to be saved from the pool, like that is a potential risk. However, I'm pretty sure every single competitor that is there for Olympic swimming would be faster, stronger, and better than any lifeguard you could ever employ. Like, they would get that person out
of the
water.
Could you imagine that guy's complex? Like, he dives in, and then eight people around him just speed past.
They beat him to the person.
Totally.
Yeah. So,
what a pointless job.
Such a pointless job. So, 131060, we wanted to throw it out there this morning. If you have seen a pointless job, so maybe you've been out and about, you've been just observing other people doing their job, and you just go, huh.
That's pointless.
It's a bit pointless.
Oh, that's, and this is not an insult to those
people
doing the jobs.
Hey, they're getting paid.
An insult to the people above them who appoint that position. Because, man, you're never going to judge anyone for doing a job. Someone comes in and subs in for me for lunch. He goes, I shut the gate at 5 p.m., then I go home. He's paid a full 8-hour workday, including his 1-hour lunch, to open the gate, sit there, and then close the gate.
That seems a bit ridiculous, doesn't it?
Pointless job, mate.
Pointless job.
Good on him. He's loving it. He's reading books.
Catching
he's always
up with
on
family.
The phone. He's always on the phone talking to
That's
people.
That's what I would be doing.
I'd get one of those little TVs. Those portable ones with
I used to have a portable DVD player. 100%. I'd take that.
Pointless job.
131060.
But he's living his best life.
Have you seen, have you had, have you experienced, do you know someone with a pointless job? And hats off to them. They're getting paid
and
to
do a fabulous
job at whatever they're doing.
I don't think we can say that enough. This is absolutely no judgment on the people
doing the
jobs. It's just interesting that these jobs have been appointed. But 131060, can you point out, can you highlight, have you seen a job that you just shake your head and go, that is completely pointless. That job doesn't need to exist. A la the lifeguard.
The Olympics.
Sitting by the pool watching the swimmers. At the Olympics. 131060. We got Sean here. Sean, mate, what's a pointless job that you've seen, bro?
A guy pushing a trolley full of milk and coffee and tea and that in an office. And everyone's got their own mugs in front of them. Right?
So does he do refills and stuff or?
No. They're all going over to a machine and getting, fizzy top coffees and stuff like that.
So, poor guy. He's a professional.
At least he's getting his steps up.
Trolley pusher. Was this a recent one, Sean? Because I feel like the coffee cart is kind of like the coffee trolley at an office is kind of a bit of an old worldly thing. But was this recently or a while ago?
No, it was only about 6 months ago.
Yeah,
living in the past.
Do you want a refill? No. Get away from me, you weird man. Whoa, the working class. 131060 is our phone number. Brooke, we're taking one now from a guy called Maynard. Get him through, Brooke. Here we go. Maynard, what's the useless job or the pointless job that you've seen, my friends?
Well, it was my job, and I still work for that same company, so I won't mention them.
No names.
The equipment was worth about $10 million, and the company sent me overseas to the factory where it was manufactured, then sent me somewhere else where the software was manufactured, and then all business class there and back. And for the last 5 years, I've looked after this piece of equipment, and I report weekly on its use, which takes me 5 minutes, and it gets used about 5 hours a week.
So you are paid to babysit some equipment.
Yeah, and I get paid about $100K.
Oh, my God! I want your job!
Maynard, hold there. We're getting some details. We want to know who your employer is.
Right.
And are there any jobs going? Gabs, if you had an unhealthy relationship with something in your life, and you're a pretty healthy person, mind, body, soul, that kind of stuff. But if you had an unhealthy relationship, I like to think you're the kind of person who would cut that off.
Yes.
And I like to
I have broken up with massage people before. Yes.
Real skin dead stuff. There was another one you broke up with recently, but I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about that. That's okay. It was another professional service. It wasn't working out for you. You cut it off.
Yeah.
Look, in all seriousness, so I've had something in my life for a lot of years that hasn't been working for me, and it's been pretty toxic. Mm. And only about 4 weeks ago, I cut it off, and my life has gotten so much better.
Mm.
And that thing for me, it was, this is it for me, and there'd be so many people, I think, listening to this right now who'd relate, but that thing for me is social media.
Yes.
I am going to put my hand up right now and go, I had and probably have a unhealthy relationship with social media. And what made me realize that was the ban on news sites from, when was that? 5-6 weeks ago? Remember when Facebook cut off all
No news was allowed on the pages.
And for that week or so, like my use of social media, and I guess the way I felt after I used it, it got better. And I realized over time, I followed a lot of these news sites and stuff. And let's be honest, the 24-hour news cycle is relentless.
And it's always bad news, isn't it?
It is pretty damn toxic as well. And if you're a person who takes in the surroundings around you, and I very much am that person, it can seep in and upset the way you think. Mm. And let's be honest, most news these days, it's pretty clickbaity. And it's, like you said, good news doesn't really sell newspapers.
No.
And I realized over years and years and years, I followed more and more and more of these sites, and I'm on social media, like most people, too many hours a day, and I was taking all that in. And slowly over time, I think it was really bringing me down and really just making me not as good a person in my head as I could be. And I realized that when the news sites went away for a while, because my use of social media got a bit more positive, but it still wasn't really, you know, good enough. I unfollowed some of those sites, but I still was getting off social media and feeling a bit lonely, a bit empty, still a bit horrible. But the straw that broke the camel's back for me was actually in the backyard with the kids. And every afternoon, like, I'll pick up my daughter from school and my son from daycare or whatever, and my wife will eventually get home from work, and we'll sort of sit out the back and play. And I'll be with the kids, and I could feel social media calling me, the phone calling me. And there was times when I would give into that and I would go, no, stop playing with the kids or whatever, or I wouldn't push my son on the swing or something because I wanted to sit down on the patio or whatever and just
scroll check through Facebook.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back, because I went, here's this thing that I don't like.
It's very unhealthy.
It makes me feel awful when I use it, and it's dragging me away from the best thing in my life that brings me so much joy and happiness.
Yeah.
For the first time in my life, I realized, like, they say social media to some people can be like a gambling addiction. It's awful for you. You know it is, but you go back to it.
You keep going back.
And that's where I was. I've got this thing that's bringing me down and upsetting my mind and just not working for me. And it's pulling me away from the best thing in my life like a magnet, you know?
Yeah.
So long story short, I got rid of all social media. The Instagram app, the Facebook app, Twitter app, Snapchat, got them all off my phone.
Wow.
This was about 4 weeks ago. I've still kept all my accounts because I still work on the radio. Like, I still
got to have access.
I need to be part of that world. Mm. But I only access all that stuff now through a desktop. So I check it in the morning when I get to work or whatever. I might check it if I'm doing some work before I pick my daughter up from school or whatever on the laptop at home. But I don't have access to social media anymore on my phone, which is with me 24/7. And I have gotten so much happier over the last 4 weeks. Like, I cannot tell you how much happier I am within myself since deleting these apps off the phone. And I just wanted to put it out there because I feel like there's probably a lot of people who have an unhealthy relationship with social media. Mm. And I'm not going to put myself out there like a poster boy, like I've done some amazing thing or whatever, but just think about it. Like, maybe it's, you know, limiting your use, or do you know what I mean?
Or even unfollowing those unhealthy pages that when you're scrolling on Instagram and you see a lot of, people that, you know, negative things or people posting things that aren't doing you any good service.
Aren't bringing you joy,
Maybe just unfollowing people is a one step.
I went the full hog and, like, ripped off the band-aid completely.
You went cold
turkey. It's probably not for anyone, but I just do literally feel so much better for it. So, I mean, it's that old don't let it rule you, you rule it. And since I've done that, like, I'm just so much happier. So if you have an unhealthy relationship with social media and it's affecting you, it's not the boss of you, and you can do something about it.
Give it
so
a go.
Jump on board. And look, it's pretty meaty stuff too. So if this is, you know, upset anyone, or you need to talk about this sort of stuff or whatever, Lifeline's always available on 13 11 14. It might seem a bit overzealous putting that number out there, but it can be quite.
It can be addictive.
Confronting social media for some people. So
yeah, it can be.
If you need a service like that, you can. 13 11 14 or lifeline.org.au.
Cliffo and Gabby's Naughty 640. Can you handle what I'm about
to do? Yeah, Parental Erotica, Volume 41. This is where I write about real world stuff in my house. Mm. As a father and a husband and all that, but I write from my wife's perspective.
Mm.
And this is centered off her watching me do a job, a particular chore.
Okay.
Around the house earlier this week.
Right.
So here it is. Naughty okay. 640, Volume 41. When you can't have what your body desires, it makes you crave it all the more. There's a layer between us. Oh, how I wish he would penetrate it.
Oh.
He's so close, but so far away. That's because he's cleaning the sliding doors and he's on the other side of the glass. Windex, work it, baby. You can do it. Put your back into it.
You can do it. Put your back into it.
Come on. I can do it. Put your ass into it.
That seductive, metho-like Windex smell fills the air. It's like an aphrodisiac burning down my nostrils and settling in my loins. Oh. But a sexy scent is not the only thing that dominates my senses. Across the living room, sexy sounds vibrate. The backwards and forwards rub and tug of paper towel against glass makes that continuous sound.
Hot.
Like a headboard banging against a bedroom wall. It's loud and rhythmic. Slow down, I scream. Go faster. Yes, no, go faster. Beads of sweat form atop his forehead as he vigorously works the paper towel in a circular motion. I can see he's putting everything into it. Faster, harder, faster, harder, faster, harder. And now he's done. The windows sparkle like a diamond in the rough. He did good, I think to myself. I haven't been this satisfied in a long time. They were very clean.
I bet they were.
They were very clean. She was very impressed.
You know when petitions are running around, it's normally on change.org.au or change.org, whatever. You go online and you sign petitions these days. No. It's never in pen and paper.
Back in the day, kids.
It's pen and paper.
People used to harass
they
you.
They used to door knock.
Out the front of Woolworths.
Oh, that too, yeah. Okay. Can you sign our petition?
Save the koalas.
Yeah, there was a lot of those back in the day. It's a lot easier now being online, so it means it's far easier to start a petition because you just have to start a page and share it on your socials and hope that it goes off.
Well, you used
start
to have to,
it.
Like we say, pound the pavement. You would
exactly.
have to, not only would you start
Hard
a petition,
work.
But then you would have to back it up.
Mm.
Now you can start a petition, just hope it goes viral.
Hope it goes viral, exactly. And because it is so easy to start a petition, I was like, I wonder if there's any weird and wacky petitions sitting on change.org. With a couple of signatures. And I've rounded up the four weirdest petitions that are actually on there.
Real hectic Wednesday afternoon in Gabby's house.
Sometimes I just have these random thoughts.
Flat knackers.
I know. Sometimes I'll be sitting on the couch and I'll just be like, I wonder what people are petitioning for today.
What are the rules of using your phone on the toilet?
That's it.
To use a recent example.
So I've actually rounded them up, though. These are legitimate petitions that are sitting on change.org. So there's one petition to make the fork emoji. So there is a knife and fork currently, but there is no fork on its own, and you can only imagine what the fork would be used for. Currently, 8 people have signed a petition.
That's travesty.
It's a real popular one. This one, however, is super popular. It's a petition for changing the name of fire ants to spicy boys. And that's got 2,836 signatures at this point in time.
That's a lot more popular than the fork emoji. Mm-hmm.
Then there is, of course, the petition to use the word yerp in place of the word phone, just because we can. So instead of saying, I'll give you a call on my phone, you'd say, I'll give you a call on my yerp. I just got to answer my yerp. Oh, my yerp's ringing.
How many signatures?
91.
Yeah, okay.
Not a
lot. So we're getting back down into fork emoji territory there.
This one's my favourite, though, and there is definitely not enough signatures on this one, and so I'd really like to promote it. I want people to get on board. There's only 299 signatures on this one, and the petition is...
Well, it's still, man, that's three times the yerp.
Yeah,
so
it's doing better.
Gaining traction.
But I want it to go better than what it is, so please get on board with this one on change.org. The petition is... We demand Head and Shoulders to create a body wash called Knees and Toes. And after this revolutionary product hits the shelf, we'll expect eyes and ears and mouth and nose face wash. I want this product!
What's Gabby doing? She's in the shower singing that bloody song again. The Hit Breakfast Show!